بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، respected ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we acknowledge and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the immense blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to the Muslim community of this country. Though we may not be perfect, we may not be the best, but it will be ingratitude if we ignore and we overlook the great Muslim identity and the very visible Muslim presence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this country. Those of our brothers from this country who have stayed overseas, who have traveled overseas, they will affirm this point if you have to ask them. And likewise, many visitors who come to our country from other parts of the world constantly express their admiration for the very visible Muslim presence, the Muslim identity, and the freedom to practice that we enjoy in this country. However, my dear brothers, with that said, as the Arabic saying goes, صَاحِبُ الدَّارُ أَدْرَى بِمَا فِيهَا, that from outside the home may seem all good, all well, but only those living within the four walls of that home know about the cracks in that wall, in that home. My dear brothers, we have to admit and concede that we have certain challenges in our communities, we have certain weaknesses in our communities, and if we ignore these weaknesses, we ignore these challenges, then there is a great fear that the decades of sacrifice of our pious predecessors, the years of effort made by the Muslim pioneers in this country may go to waste and may go down the drain. Now, my dear brothers, we as Muslims, when we face any challenge, any difficulty, any hardship, the first point of reference and first thing we turn to is the Quran Majid, the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ ذَكَرْ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, in the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are profound teachings. They are timeless principles that if it is implemented properly, will definitely give us a solution to every problem and every difficulty and challenge that we face. Now we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in Makkah Mukarramah for a period of 13 years. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after 13 years of persecution, torment, abuse at the hands of his enemies, his opponents, Makkatul Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now migrates to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, and there he establishes the first Muslim community in our history. And the people of Medina Munawwara, my dear brothers, were a group of people that were simple farmers. They were people who were deeply steeped in tribalism, where this tribalism had led to historic feuds raging between the tribes of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. Add to this, my dear brothers, the shrewd colonies of the Jews that were living around Madinatul Munawwara. They were manipulating the situation in Madinatul Munawwara. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now comes to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And in a short span of mere 10 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam totally transformed this community of Madinatul Munawwara into a thriving and robust community. Such a community that was to become the foundation for Islam to spread into the four corners of the world. And such a community that has become the blueprint and the model of what a Muslim community and what a Muslim society should look like. And today, my dear brothers, I wish to explore and discuss a few of these principles from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of these teachings from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if we will implement in our lives, in our communities, inshallah, it will transform our communities into a thriving and a robust community. And I understand, my dear brothers, that currently there are many things happening in the world. The issue of Gaza is in the heart and on the mind of every Muslim. But the unfortunate situation is, Najeeb brothers, we living in this part of the world, there's very little that we can do right now to directly assist the people of Gaza. And Arabic saying goes, Ma la yudraku kulluhu, la yudraku kulluhu. If you cannot do everything, then at least try to do something. And what better way than to start with that which is our control and getting our house in order. And before I go on to this topic, my dear brothers, there's two important points I'd like to highlight. Number one, my dear brothers, as the topic suggests, that this is a community effort. This is a community effort. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Bukhari Sharif, brings the chapter, Babu Bina'il Masjid. Babu Ta'awun Fi Bina'il Masjid. Commentators say that Imam Bukhari, the gist of what he's trying to say is that the masjid is a community effort. It is not the need or the want of one or responsibility of one or two people, but rather it is the need and the want of the entire community. So the entire community needs to come together. Today we are talking about how to build an Islamic community. This is not the responsibility of only the imam or only one or two people, but rather this is the responsibility of the entire community. And secondly, my dear brothers, today what we will discuss is just the lesson, is just the theory, it is just brainstorming. What is required, my dear brothers, for us to implement? Today, one of the greatest laments of our ulama and those who speak on Fridays and other occasions as well, that today so much is being said, but so little is being done. I mean, an imam will sit on the minbar on a Friday, and for 30 minutes, he will deliver a fiery bayan, a fiery talk, a passionate talk about the importance of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But a mere few minutes later, when the imam will make the second salam of that salah, scores of people will rush towards the door of the masjid and exit the masjid kallam yasmaha, as though they have not heard a single word that the imam has spoken. So my dear brothers, there's been enough talking, now is the time for us to implement. So the topic, my dear brothers, lessons from the seerah. Lessons from the seerah that will help us to build a thriving community. There are four lessons I'd like to discuss, like to speak about. Of course, there are many other lessons which our most senior and learned ulama could deduce, but four that I would like to speak about. Number one, my dear brothers, the first and very important principle to build a thriving community is that we have to build the individual. We have to build the individual. If we want to build a thriving community, a robust community, then this means that we will have to develop individually, spiritually, morally, linking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because after all, my dear brothers, each individual is the building block. Each individual building block of society. A strong society is built from strong individuals. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his mission of spreading the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lasted for 23 years. During these 23 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's focus shifted from one thing to the other. In the early days in Makkah Mukarramah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam focused upon da'wah and calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bringing them into the fold of Islam and increasing the number of Muslims. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrates to Madinah to Munawwara, and now his focus shifts to establishing the Muslim community in Al-Madinah to Munawwara. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam focus shifts to his military campaigns, and then his efforts to the international effort to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So during this entire 23 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's focus shifted from one thing to the other. But during these 23 years, my dear brothers, from the beginning of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right until his last breath, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's focus on building the individual, developing the taqwa in each person, connecting each person with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his focus never wavered, his focus never moved away from this. Until the dying breath of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-salata, as-salata, wa ma malakat imanakum. Still the focus is upon what? The focus is upon each person realizing his duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, developing the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even prophesied that when the last days of this world will come, and when society will become corrupt and morally bankrupt, at that time, what is the focus upon? فَعَلَيْكَ بِنَفْسِكَ. Each person has to still try to develop his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any person, any Muslim, even if people may regard him as a great Muslim thinker or a great Muslim intellectual, And he thinks that the ummah or our communities can rise up through this, or through some social means, or through some intellectual strategies, without there being a sustained and concerted effort to develop the taqwa of each person, then this person is living in a fantasy world. And that person in reality is not a Muslim intellectual. He's not a great Muslim thinker. So the very important point, my dear brothers, to build a strong community, we require strong, Allah-conscious, God-fearing individuals. Through this, our community will become stronger, because each individual is the building block of society. So that's the first thing, my dear brothers. The second thing, the central role of a masjid in building a community. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. When he first comes to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, he stopped over in the area of Quba. Ulama differ, it was either 4 days or perhaps 14 days that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in Quba. But despite the short stopover in Al-Quba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lays the foundation for the first masjid in Islam, which we do today know as Masjid Al-Quba. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now moves on to central Madinatul Munawwara, the city center. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stays in the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as a guest of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, even before building homes for himself and for his wives, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first erects Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. Now it's important to understand, my dear brothers, the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The plan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was we take it as it comes kind of attitude. We'll see when we get there kind of attitude. But rather, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is tasked with the mammoth duty of spreading Islam into the four corners of the world, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who himself taught us, la aqla ka tadbir, that true intelligence is to have a working plan. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, everything that he did was not just per chance, but rather it was properly calculated, measured, and well thought of before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implemented it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stressing upon building these masajid, even before building his own, shows to us a masjid in a community. These masajid, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, my dear brothers, these are known as the qalb. They are known as the heart of our community. And just as a body, if it does not have a heart, then there is no life in that community. Likewise, if a community does not have a masjid, then there is no Islam, there is no life in that community. And just in the body, as in the heart, the healthier the heart of a person is, the healthier the body, the more life there will be in a community masjid, the more life there will be in that community. And my dear brothers, this itself is a topic on Islam. Ulama have spoken about this. But I'd like to stress on one particular point, my dear brothers. And that is, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us in the area that we live in. Any Muslim living in this area, if he has to take a drive, a few minutes drive in any direction from his home, it is most likely he'll come across a masjid or a place of salah where he can perform salah, and many times suitable to and convenient for the times that he wants. But my dear brothers, we should not be looking for convenience in this issue, but rather we should make it a point that we read our salah in what we call our local masjid, or we read salah in our local place of salah. The fuqaha, the jurists, have formulated certain masail. In fact, they have categorically stated that for a person to read salah in his local masjid, the masjid that is closest to his home, this is even more virtuous for him to read salah in a bigger masjid where there may be a bigger congregation. The better thing for him is to read salah in his local masjid. Why, my dear? Why? Because every day when the people of a community come together, 5 times a day, they come to the masjid. They are seeing each other, they are greeting each other, they are smiling at each other. And then together, as one ummah, as one community, we stand in a straight line. And then together we bow down and we prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without us even realizing, we are engaging in a very strong community building activity. Not only are we connecting with our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time we are connecting with our community. And may it be witnessed many times, when a person is regular at his local masjid, then the absence of that person is noticed. It happened many times that a person is regular at a certain masjid, and then something, for a few days he isn't there. So then the people of that community, because they know him, he's a local, he's in the masjid all the time, they realize and they feel his absence, and then they can reach out to this person and find out, is there any assistance that we can give to this person, thereby strengthening the community. So this masjid, my dear, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, is an integral and a very important part of our community, and each person should make it a point that he reads his salah in his local masjid, in his local place of prayer. So that is the second thing. The third thing, my dear brothers, we have to develop and we have to foster brotherhood in our communities, and we have to do away with discrimination in our communities. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrates from Makkah Mukarramah, he comes to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. In the people of Medina Munawwara, as I had mentioned, they were people who were deeply steeped in tribalism. It was unheard amongst them that for a person from outside our tribe to be living in our tribal areas, to be living in our tribal lands. Add to that, my dear brothers, we have these people come from Makkah Mukarramah. Call them asylum seekers, call them foreigners, call them refugees. And we in this country are very well acquainted with the issue of xenophobia. Add to that, my dear brothers, ulama writes that at that time resources in Medina Munawwara were very scarce. Water was scarce. Something as simple as clothing was very scarce amongst the people of Madinatul Munawwara. And all this put together, my dear brothers, could have led to a lot of strife, a lot of disruptions in the system of Madinatul Munawwara. But once again, my dear brothers, another moment of brilliance. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established the ties of Mu'akha, the ties of brotherhood between the Muhajireen, the migrants, the asylum seekers that came from Makkah Mukarramah, and the locals of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And understand, my dear brothers, the Arabs took their pacts very, very seriously. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pulled off this masterstroke, and he established this pact that you and this Ansari Sahabi and this Sahabi in Makkah Mukarramah, now it's not a case of mine and yours, my wealth and your wealth. Rather, we are brothers, and we will live together, and we will see and look out for each other. My dear brothers, we know very well that in our country, post-1994, there has been a great shift in the demographics of our country. We have seen many of our Muslim brothers from other parts of the world pouring into our country, into our country. We have to remove this discrimination. We have to remove the elitism that exists amongst our communities. If we are serious about having a thriving and robust Muslim community, we have to ensure, my dear brothers, that we remove all types of discrimination that exists in our community. And lastly, my dear brothers, the fourth point we discuss, and that is the importance of modesty in a community. Modesty is one of the integral and one of the core principles of Islam. Al-haya'u wal-iman qurina jami'a. Haya, modesty, and iman go hand in hand. The Hadith Sharif says, go hand in hand. And when one, إِذَا ذَهَبَ أَحَدُهُمَا ذَهَبَ الْآخَرَ, when one of these two leaves the life of a person, or even if he leaves the community, the other one will follow suit very, very shortly. My dear brothers, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Arabs prior to Islam, they were not the most modest of people. They would make tawaf of Baytullah whilst they were naked. There was tabarruj al-jahiliyah. There were women flaunting themselves in public. Zina, adultery, fornication was quite rife amongst the Arabs prior to Islam. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And then he sets up the system of segregation between genders, between male and female. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, and he stresses the importance of modesty, for people to dress modestly. يُدِّينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِبِهِنْ, for women and people to speak modestly, to be modest in their ways, in their dressing, and many other aspects of life. And why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this, my dear brothers? Because when modesty leaves a community, then that community is bound for destruction. I don't mean to sound rude, my dear brothers, but we living in this country, we have a glaring example right before our eyes of when modesty leaves a community, how it destroys the fabric, of that society, spiritually, socially, in so many other ways as well. When modesty leaves a community, it destroys the fabric of that society. And my dear brothers, the unfortunate part is that immodesty very rapidly is gripping our community in this part of the world. And the sadder part, my dear brothers, we have become totally desensitized towards it. I mean, for a Muslim woman to emerge from her house with her hair uncovered, what a ghastly act, what a haram and what an impermissible act. Yes, daily this happens before our eyes and we feel absolutely nothing about it. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to develop the community of Madinah Munawwara, he established and he engendered and he emphasized the importance of modesty. And my dear brothers, modesty, especially amongst our women, is something that is very, very important. Look at the style of the Quran Sharif. When Quran Sharif was addressing certain weaknesses, certain problems, Allah Ta'ala addressed the male first and then the female. Al-Munafiqeena wal-Munafiqat. Male hypocrites, female hypocrites. Al-Mushrikeena wal-Mushrikat. Male polytheists, female polytheists. But when it came to issues of morality, of modesty, also wasariqu wasariqatu. Allah Ta'ala first spoke about the male thief and the female thief. When it came to issues of modesty and morality, the entire tone of Quran Sharif changes. Allah Ta'ala says, Azaniyatu wazani, the female who commits adultery, and then the male who commits adultery. Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithin. Allah Ta'ala says, immoral men, women are for immoral men. Why? Ulama say that in a community, for men to be immodest, this is terrible. But for in a community, for women to be immodest, this is a catastrophe. This is a disaster. Because we know very well, my dear brothers, that the first madrasa of every child is the lap of the mother. If we have women in a community that are immodest, this will lead to entire generation becoming immodest. So it's integral, my dear brothers, that we uphold modesty and we see to it that the women folk and everyone in general in our communities, we uphold the highest standards. And instill in our communities the issue of modesty. Time is running out, my dear brothers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, bless the ummah, bless the community. May Allah ta'ala give us the opportunity to implement his teachings on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah ta'ala have the ummah throughout the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.